Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The fifth book of the Old Testament. It's pretty early in the Old Testament. The fifth book of the law. This is the 11th chapter. I'll read from verses 13 through 21. Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 21. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give to your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise this day for this word, which we can read freely in this space. Help us, Lord, to reflect well on it, and may we be changed by the renewal of our minds as we focus on loving you with everything that we have, especially our thoughts. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. What are you thinking about right now? That's a rhetorical question. I'm not really asking for you to tell me because it probably would distract me. And I might really be surprised. What are you thinking about right now? What will you be thinking about in 20 minutes? Will you be thinking about the songs we've sung today, the scripture that we've read together? What's for lunch? The things that, they're honesty. Thank you, Tracy. Honesty is always a good thing. Will you be thinking about the list of things that you have to get done the rest of today? Probably. The way we honor the Lord with our lives is very important. And today we're thinking specifically about how to love God with all of our minds, all of our thoughts, everything that goes on between these ears. What happens internally? This passage of Scripture points us to something along those lines. And I'd like you to imagine with me what it might have been like to reflect on this passage from Deuteronomy 11 many, many centuries ago. This is the most exciting day of my life. I'm so happy I can't even contain myself. My wife and I, she's now my wife, we're married and we're beginning to establish a new home. This is such a joy. We've been waiting for this time for so long, and now we can begin to build our household together. When we enter into our new home, one of the first things that we'll have to do is to place something very important in a very important place in our house. We're supposed to put a piece of scripture wrapped up in a little scroll into a little box called a mezuzah. Have you ever heard of a mezuzah before? It's a little box that you put on your door frame, on the entry to the house, and it slides. There's a little thing here that slides up and down. Different mezuzahs are built different ways. But inside this little box is a piece of scripture that's written on front and on back, And it contains just what we've read from the law, the command to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. It begins with the Hebrew letter Shin, which is the opening letter to that great commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And then it contains also the passage that we just heard from the law that says that we must love God and obey Him, and He will be faithful to provide all of our needs. To put this in the beginning of our new home is such a symbolic thing. It's so important for us as we establish our new life together, my wife and me, to say that the Scripture holds a central place in our home. And we place it right there on the door frame so that every time we come in and out of our house, we remember. We remember who we are and what we are all about. I want this to be a home where God grants us a living hope. I had wanted this to be a place where God would grant us a living hope. It's been a year since my wife and I were married, and we had hoped to welcome a child into the world. But the biggest shock of all, when it came time for my wife to give birth, the child was stillborn. I don't understand this. I can't understand why God would allow something like this to happen. A living hope. Every time I walk in and out of this house, I see that mezuzah containing the scroll of the word of the Lord and the sign of the commitment, the covenant that God has made with us. The covenant. I feel like I'm faithfully obeying God's commands. I feel like I'm holding up my end of the bargain. Where is God in all of this? A covenant is supposed to be a mutual partnership where each party participates equally. And I thought I could count on the Lord to bring about something good, and here I have to deal with something utterly tragic. Sometimes I wonder where the Lord is. Do you ever wonder where the Lord is? This summer has been very dry. And all through the summer we've been wondering, when will the autumn rains come? You see, we depend on those autumn rains. We need those to come so that we can begin the process of planting crops that will grow through the winter months. It's not so cold in winter anymore, but we need these autumn rains to come so that the planting can begin, so that we can have hope for food for the coming season. Some of my neighbors have done a pretty terrible thing. They've noticed, like I have, that the rains have not yet come. And so they're looking for other ways to bring about those rains. They're calling on other gods. They're calling on the god Hadad. Of course, they would never call him that. That's his sacred name. He's the god of the Philistines. He's the god of the rains of the Canaanites, the people who lived here before God gave us, our God gave us this land. They don't call him Hadad, they call him Baal, Baal. They call him the Lord. Of course, that's what we call the true Lord. We don't ever speak the Lord's real living name. We just call him Adonai, Lord. But my neighbors, see, they've been calling on the name of another God to bring about the rains that we so desperately need. And I told my wife and our 5-year-old son that we should not do this. That we should not do as our neighbors have done, that we should only follow the Lord. After all, we're in a covenant relationship with our God, and every time we walk in and out of our house, we pass that same mezuzah scroll that's been there since before He was born, that reminded us of the covenant relationship that God has made with us. This text that's contained in that scroll reminds us when we repeat it. It reminds us that He will provide for us. The Lord will provide those autumn rains and the spring rains later on in the season. But He will provide for us so that we will have the crops that we need, so that we will have the life that we need, if we remain faithful to Him. See, that's where the rub lies. But sure enough, just yesterday the autumn rains started, and I could tell my wife and my son, this is the work of the Lord. He is being faithful to us. He is being faithful to provide. Because you see, our God is a provider. I had hoped that God would provide greatly for us. It's harvest time now. It's springtime, time for us to bring in our spring crops. And unlike previous years, the spring rains have not been very full. How can I teach my 10-year-old son that God is faithful in all seasons when we need, desperately need Him to show up and provide these spring rains? In fact, I don't have to just teach my 10-year-old son, I have to teach his 8-year-old brother the same thing. God has been faithful to us in our family. But it is a challenge for us to remember that God is faithful in all seasons. These boys must learn that there are no other gods for them to follow. That mezuzah scroll that sits on the door frame of our house, it's a reminder that God has been faithful to us in the past. You see, it contains that scripture that God spoke through Moses to our ancestors so long ago when He gave us this land. God has been faithful to us up until this point. He will remain true. And I love how that passage ends. For as many days as the heavens are high above the earth. Boy, have you ever thought about how many days that must be? God will remain faithful to His people for as long as the sky is above the ground. We serve an eternally good God. Even when it seems like the spring rains are never coming, we serve an eternally good God. I tell you what, we serve an eternally good God. I just got back from Jerusalem with my boys. This is the first year that they've both been old enough to go with me to celebrate the Passover festival. In Jerusalem, where all of the people of Israel, all of the men of age of Israel, come together for the Passover feast. Now, we've celebrated the Passover feast in our own home. But to do it in Jerusalem with all of the other people there is a really tremendous and really powerful thing. All of God's people gathered together to remember God's goodness to us. The story of God's great salvation. How He saved us from slavery in Egypt. Brought us out of Pharaoh's hand and into this land where we live now. To see it through my son's eyes, to see them understand what this is really all about, is maybe the greatest gift I could receive. How, at the time of the Passover, we take a lamb, a perfect, spotless, blameless lamb, and kill it as a sacrifice to the Lord. And then take its blood in remembrance of how we took its blood on that first Passover day when God passed over our houses and killed the firstborns of the Egyptians around us. Our ancestors took the blood of that perfect spotless lamb and spread it across the doorposts and down the door frames of their homes so God would pass them by. Part of that story, different parts of that story are making more sense to me now. Now that I'm thinking about it through the lens of my boys. To see it from their perspective. To see it how they might think of things. A couple of different parts of the Passover meal itself made specifically more sense to me this year than in previous years. The part where the rabbi takes the flat piece of matzah bread, you know, the flat piece of bread there, at the beginning of the meal, it's a delicacy, it's a dessert item, and we can't wait to have it. But he takes the bread and breaks it, and then hides it away. Hides it away for a while. So that no one can see it. The children are clamoring to find out where it is. But we have to wait for the right time to bring the bread back out again and share in it. I've done that with my boys all along at home. But to do it in Jerusalem with the others there, I realized something more about how God provides for us in all seasons. About how God blesses His people with tremendous blessings, but we don't always understand His timing. There have been times in the past that I've wondered where God was and when the rains would come and things like that. The blessing is there. It's been there from the beginning. It's just a matter of time until God reveals it. And then another part of this meal, another part of the Passover meal, you know, there are the four cups of wine that we share at different points in the meal. The third cup of wine that we drink together, the third one that is a promise of God blessing His people with a tremendous act of power. He will enact His righteousness and His salvation with a tremendous act of power. We drink that cup in remembrance of the great act of power that God did way back when He brought us out of Egypt. But I couldn't help but wonder this time, as my boys took that cup, as a new generation takes it, I couldn't help but think forward. What if, in the future, God should bring about such a tremendous act of power that He would provide righteousness and salvation for all of His people? What would that look like? How would we celebrate that? How would we remember it? Could it even happen in my lifetime or in the lifetime of my children? I believe that must happen sometime, someday soon, because this world is not as it should be. There's plenty wrong in our world, but to see a final demonstration of God's power, to see how God will finally make everything new, I can only dream seeing that day. I hope God makes everything new real soon, because we could sure use it these days. You would think that this would be some of the happiest days of my life. You see, my oldest boy is married now, and his wife just gave birth to our first grandchild, a beautiful baby girl. Happiest time of my life, except for what I hear in the news. There's only one word that captures the headlines today: Assyria. You've heard of Assyria, right? This nasty, big, evil empire up to the north of us. And they have an incredible army, and I think they have iron chariots and all sorts of terrible devices that are really good for making war, but really bad for those against whom they're making the war. Word on the street is, we've just heard, that Assyria's army, under its terrible king Sennacherib, has just captured the Israelite capital, Samaria. Can you believe it? Samaria, the capital city of the northern kingdom Israel, has fallen to the Assyrians. They've been taking little villages all along the way, but now to take the fortified capital? Israel has fallen. You know, I knew something like this was going to happen. For years now, Israel has been worshiping our God, but they've been kind of mixing in worship of other gods. You remember that mezuzah scroll that's on our doorpost? We've seen it every day. We've gone in and out of this house for 55 years. But I think our friends to the north, our relatives to the north, have forgotten what it was about. The call of our God is to worship Him only, to serve Him only, to not turn to the other gods of the lands around us, because those are not real gods at all. But the Israelites have just done that, exactly that. And I think that's why Assyria has captured their capital city of Samaria. But Assyria is not stopping there. Assyria is continuing southward, and from what we hear, they're going to be approaching our land, Judah, very soon, and I'm sure they're going to go straight toward Jerusalem. What can we do? How could we possibly stand against the Assyrian army? They're so big, they're so vast, and they're so strong. In a time when I should be celebrating the growth of my family, in a time that is such a wonderful time for us, all we can think about is how dangerous of a time it is. But those of us who remain here in Judah are returning to our faith like never before. We have this covenant relationship with our God, and He has promised to remain faithful to us if we remain faithful to Him. So I tell my sons, and I tell our granddaughter, even though she doesn't know what's going on yet, that God will be faithful, and that we must remember, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." In some ways, I think it's maybe easier to trust in God now when these times are difficult, because the needs are so great. If we make it through this onslaught from Assyria, I kind of wonder if we'll remember God afterwards, or if we'll just go back to living life like it was before. I wonder if we'll remember Him if we make it through this, and remember to love Him all the time. Listen to me, if we make it through this, God is our provider. It may yet be that in my days, the days of my children, the days of my children's children, will be many in this land. God has been faithful to His covenant in the past, and His covenant is one of love with us. We must be faithful to love Him completely in return, no matter what is going on in the world around us. We've been faithful to love the Lord with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all of our minds. And a funny thing happened. You know, we've been holed up here in Jerusalem for a few days. The Assyrian army has been laying siege to our city. But we've been staying true to our God through all of this mess. And our King Hezekiah just prayed to the Lord last night that He would do something miraculous to end this conflict against us. And wouldn't you know, we woke up this morning to see all these dead bodies, the Assyrian army, tens of thousands of them died overnight. God has provided for us in tremendous fashion. His covenant is sure, that we who remain faithful to Him will see His blessings in our days. He will be faithful to us. What a tremendous time to be one of God's people. I can only hope my children and their children after them will continue on in this faith, that they too will put up these mezuzah scrolls in their own homes to remember God's faithfulness to them, to have a way to tell the story to those who come after them. Friends, know this. God has made a covenant of love with us. The people of God today are those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. It's not restricted to one nationality anymore. It's not restricted to one country or to people living within one border. But all of those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. This Jesus commanded us to love God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, with all our strength. So I ask you again, what are you thinking about right now? What will you be thinking about in 20 minutes? My challenge for you this day is simply this. Make one change in your home. A physical change. Put something up. Put a decoration in a certain spot. Find a mezuzah scroll and stick it on your wall. Do something this week to change your living space. To be a reminder of God's Word. To be a reminder of God's love for you. To be a reminder of His covenant relationship with you. And to be a reminder of His call for you to love Him in return. It can be something very simple. It can be anywhere in your home, in your bedroom, in your locker at school, wherever you find yourself, in your car if you spend a lot of time on the road. Make one change to remind yourself of the great story that we have to share with those around us. Let us be faithful to God in all that we do and in all that we think. So may it be that our God finds us faithful and is faithful to us in return. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, we give you thanks for your word and for how it was read and memorized and mused upon by people of faith for many centuries before us. Help us, Lord, to remain faithful to you in these days, that no matter what comes, no matter what troubles we face, no matter what temptations we face, no matter what joys we face, we think first of you and of our love for you and of your love for us, most perfectly revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Make us fully aware of you in our lives this week, we pray, so that we might be faithful to your call to love you and to love those around us. Bless us, O Lord. In the name of Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.